Good morning.
Good morning.
Father Peter keeps with the same tradition that I do in whenever having visiting clergymen, inviting them to preach. So it falls to me to offer the homily this morning, but I must tell you that he had Father Christopher reach out to both Father Nick, my Simbethro, and myself, and we both hesitated. Father Nick says, I'm on vacation. I said, well, I'm on vacation too. But I said, you know, I am intimidated because when we're all in Las Vegas together, Father Nick, my cubado, is the priest in Las Vegas, and his son was getting married. There were about 12 priests there, and Father and Metropolitan Gerasimos asked Father Nick to preach that Sunday in Las Vegas. And after his sermon, the Las Vegas congregation gave him applause. And so I'm intimidated to this day because I'm afraid I won't get any applause. So I'm ready for you. And I've got you covered. And when I argued that how difficult is it to preach on the Good Samaritan, Father Nick said, well, you know, we don't have any Good Samaritans in New York. And you know, that's true for the first century church, the first century Jews. Notice this figure of speech. Jumbo shrimp. Pretty ugly, minor crisis, alone together, deafening silence. What is that figure of speech called? It's an oxymoron, right?
Right.
Good Samaritan is also, for a first century Jew, an oxymoron. To his fellow Jews, Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan presents a quintessential oxymoron. Because for a first century Jew, the adjective good and the noun Samaritan were automatically mutually exclusive. So imagine the emotional trauma that this young Jewish lawyer must have experienced to learn that it is a Samaritan who is going to be proven the worthy neighbor in God's eyes. His shock was no doubt even more acute due to the fact that he was hardly prepared for the answer to his question, and who is my neighbor? After all, this young, smart lawyer obviously had a proven and effective legal strategy. Asking the right question is pretty easy when you know the right answer. Asking the right question, knowing the right answer, is the most effective way to justify yourself. So from God's perspective, since we all share the same nature, all people, by definition, are our neighbors. The blessed Bishop Theophylactus offers the following metaphor for this parable. Went down to Jericho from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is at higher elevation from Jericho. And for him, Jerusalem represents a vision of peace where it is cooler, the fresh breezes of Jerusalem. Going down to Jerusalem at a lower elevation, where it is much warmer, represents the passions. And of course, the thieves metaphorically represent the demons, the priest and the Levite, the old law and the former prophets, the oil and the wine, the Lord's teachings, the inn, and make note of the Greek word in the original, pandohion, is the church, the two denarii, Old and New Testament, and I'm sure you know who the Samaritan is, none other than Jesus of the New Covenant. He does not pass by or ignore us, but abides with us and binds up our wounds. Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back, says the Samaritan to the innkeeper. Does this not represent the present age and vocation of the Christian church? Today, we take for granted orphanages, homes for the elderly, even the hospital. But until the flowering of the Christian church from the fourth century on, such things didn't even exist. It was luminaries such as St. Basil the Great who stepped up for the sake of the gospel and challenged even the imperial powers of his flock to be, quote, proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers. So the right faith requires right action. What are the tools of our trade as healers? What is the quality of the oil and wine we are using to heal the wounded in our midst? Are we offering the very best that we have? The priest and the Levite were two religious people who did nothing. Let this be a reminder, a warning to us that vision, including any religious expression or spiritual yearning without mission, is useless. Let this be a warning that any, even new church buildings, will have merit in our Lord's eyes only if all people are welcome, and that the wine and oil used therein aren't consigned to just a well-publicized and profitable food festival. The only way to live the right faith is to emulate how the true God treats his neighbor, our neighbor, how he deals with you and with me as the one who shows mercy. Jesus wants us to follow the example of the Good Samaritan and indeed be a good neighbor. To do this, we of course have to have vision, eyes to really see those who are hurting. But remember, vision without mission is useless. We need to reach out. We need to go to people and do whatever it takes to reach them with God's love and mercy. And finally, we need to have compassion, expressing and living the love of God in our hearts and in our actions. A few years ago, a similar parable was circulating the internet, and it went viral. Now, keep in mind, this is probably not a true story, but it's a good parable. Pastor Jeremiah Stipek transformed himself into a homeless person and went to the 10,000-member church that he was to be introduced to as the head pastor that morning. He walked around for 30 minutes while the church was filling with people for service. Only three people bothered to say hello to him. He asked people for change to buy food. No one in the church gave him any change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in the front of the church and was asked by the ushers if he would please sit in the back. The elders went up to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. "We would like to introduce to you Pastor Jeremiah Stipek." The congregation looked around, clapping with joy and anticipation. The homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. The clapping stopped with all eyes on him. He walked up to the altar and took the microphone from the elders who were in on this. He paused for a moment, then after reciting the parable of the Last Judgment, looked out at the congregation and told them what he had experienced that morning. Many began to cry and many heads were bowed in shame. Then he said, "Today I see a gathering of people, but not the body of Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When you decide to become disciples, we will gather as God's people." He dismissed them until the following week. Whether this is a true story hardly matters. In fact, it too is a parable, pregnant with impactful meaning, with a simple challenge to us. Let's go and be a neighbor to everyone we meet, sharing the love of Jesus with them. And back to that word referring to the inn. In Luke's gospel, he uses two words for inn. In the birth narrative, the Greek word for inn is katalima. And the katalima is like a barracks. It's a generic term for some sort of structure. But in this parable, the Greek text is pandohion. Pandohion means receiving all. And Luke is very careful to use that Greek word in the context of this parable, because the church is that pandohion, that inn where all are to be received, where all are to receive and experience God's mercy and love, as we are called now to set him on his own beast, and we bring him to the pandohion, and we take care of him. To him be all the glory, honor, and worship, now and forevermore. Amen.